The Brisbane Lions had a gala event in Melbourne at the Grand Hyatt on Saturday night where they inducted a whole lot of people into, or worthy, obviously, into their Hall of Fame. Some great names of the old Fitzroy days. Arthur Wilson, magnificent administrator who kept that club ticking for so many years, seemingly on his own at times. George Coates, Norm Johnson, Jimmy Freak, Gary Peart, Luke Power, Jason Ackermann, Simon Black, of course, named the club's best recent player at the Hall of Fame event. But one name I was absolutely thrilled to see added to the Hall of Fame was a man who's given so much to footy and yet don't find anybody who's got a bad word to say about him. Matt Rendall's his name, and he's been good enough to join us on the show the Monday after. Good afternoon and congratulations to you, Matty.
Oh, thanks very much, Andrew. Much appreciated.
What does it mean? I mean, everything that you've done in footy and all the things that you've seen and been part of, what does something like this mean to you?
I haven't really thought about it till the night, and it was a big night, and I thought, well, you don't really play footy for any accolades. You really just play for one reason, to win a premiership. So never got to achieve that, but when you get there and realise how big, you know, it's a bigger deal than you actually think it is. You know, with all the people there and how much time and work people put into the club and that, I tended to appreciate a lot more once I was there and saw all the people and realised how big a deal it was. Certainly when you're working in footy, working in another club, you sort of, I didn't really think about it that much to tell you the truth, but it was certainly a big honour to be on a short list really of all the people who have played for Fitzroy Brisbane Lions over the years.
And in terms of keeping the memory and the heartbeat of Fitzroy alive, Matty, depending on, you know, there's a lot of bitter Fitzroy people who have been lost to the game and they're probably never coming back. You know, you know them and I'm sure they seek you out at times and let you know how they feel about what happened to the footy club. It does keep the heartbeat in the minds of some ticking, you know, and beating ever so slightly, which is better than not at all nights like this and the memory and the recognition of people like you and some of those other names we mentioned before.
Yeah, well, look, most of the people, you know, from my age are in their 50s and in their 60s and that. So there was a lot of older people in their group from, you know, you'd remember fondly the 80s in particular, late 70s probably. Also, there was, obviously the newer people who are more in tune to the Brisbane Lions and their three flags and the success they had in the 2000s, early 2000s. So it was a good blend. They do a really good job of supporting the old Fitzroy people. I know there's some people who have lost. Look, to the players who played in that era, it was sort of inevitable. It was going to happen at some stage. It was a major struggle even when I played back in the early 80s. You know, financially, it was a major struggle. We managed to get through to roughly the 96, I think it was, in the end.
But,
when I was there when we were going to go to Brisbane at the end of 86 and got told who wants to go, and we all put up our hands to go and be, what was going to be the Brisbane Lions then. And I also went to the meeting we were about the end of 89 when we're going to join the Western Bulldogs as well. So it was inevitable it was going to happen just from a financial point of view. Probably if in this day and age, you'd probably be able to get through it. Because of how much money comes in through television rights at AFL. But, Murray, even in the 80s and that, I think the game wasn't even going to be televised one year and they got some minimal amount of ABC or something.
87, that's
so,
right, yep.
So it's amazing how, for a game that was monstrous back in those days and still they only broke the record for crowd attendance from 1981, I reckon, only recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
For numbers of people who went to footy, which is extraordinary when you think about it.
It really is.
There was so much, it was so popular, but a lot of clubs were destitute.
Well, you think about what you went through in your 10 or 11 years at Fitzroy, Matty. Three home grounds. You played at the Junction Oval, Victoria Park and Princes Park. And you had four coaches. So the toll on people like Wolsey and Parko and Curl, Rod Austin and then Shorey in your last year at the footy club. The toll it took on those men to try and, with the limited facilities they had and resources they had compared to others to maintain a competitive footy team, it clearly took its toll on people.
Well, no doubt Wolsey left because of the Carlton. Obviously, he got an offer from Carlton. It was his old team, but, you know, he told me and Scotty when he just, you know, first that he was going and said, look, I can just have anything I want there, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And it was a major struggle. And the last straw for him was really when we got kicked off the junction at the end of 84. Melbourne came in, they wanted to get Melbourne off the MCG, so they put Melbourne in there. We got kicked off the junction, and we ended up training out at Northcote's ground, which was a horror ground.
God.
I mean, you just sink 6 inches deep into the ground. We had to call training off numerous times during the year. We ended up training at Bulleen. We trained at different grounds during the year. Our weights room was actually a shed where we had to pull all the weights out in the open air, do weights, and put them back in after training.
Oh, that can't... No, you're making that up.
I'm not making it up. I'm telling you, we had to unlock the door and pull all the weights out, do some bench presses and the like.
In the middle of winter. In the middle of winter.
Yep. So if it was raining, you couldn't do it.
Oh,
and it was a diabolical year. But we ended up back at, funny enough, we ended up at South Melbourne's old ground for 86, which was a lot better. It was still downtrodden. The ground. They hadn't spent any money on it. The ground was okay. Change rooms and that were pretty pokey. But we ended up back there and run around the lake again for our pre-season. So, and we played our home games at Princess Park. I'm not sure when we went to Victoria Park. Maybe a couple of years later, but yeah, we're a bit all over the place and really just trying to make ends meet.
And here's the miracle of it all, Matty. You've only got to look at the team that you were part of for the first half of your time at Fitzroy. I mean, some super players and an unbelievably talented footy team. You played in four finals campaigns in your first 6 years, if my memory's right, at Fitzroy. Yeah. It just underlines, you know, the resilience of the group and how good they were, you know?
Just missed by half a game on the other one in 82, I think. Look, there's a few reasons for that. Obviously, you know, when you haven't got a lot, you appreciate what you've got and it tends to bring the players closer together. But you need a few things going for us. So we got a few really good players out of our area, like our Hampton League. And also, you know, the Roos Perts Osmonds came from out the Doncaster Templestowe way at the same time. And so some good people from our zones. But also Arthur Wilson did a super job with what was called the Form 4s there. Every club got two Form 4s and could pick interstate players. And me and Scotty came in 81 and... There was, you know, the Gail and Armstrong and Lynch, and that came in early 80s or to mid 80s. Mm. So he did a super job with Mickey Conlon, obviously, late 70s. Did a super job with picking players from interstate who were, importantly, they were good players, but also great people, I think, as well. And so we made it work. But the other thing, the other really important part was that Wolsey was fantastic with the culture of the club and made it as professional as you could get it. We trained really hard. We're the first club to do something like the 100-100s and back then, which became popular in the late 80s. And that we trained super hard. We trained all over the place. But there was a real good camaraderie amongst the players and the club. And the players loved being there. And it's probably borne out, as I mentioned the other night, that you know, no one left the club. And I'm sure Bernie Quinlan and Gary Wilson, Pert Roos, Osborne, and the likes had offers from other clubs. Certainly I had one from Collingwood at the end of 84. But no one left.
They got you eventually, Collingwood. They finally got you. About 35 years later, something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, how fondly do you remember, and I'm sure you sound like a guy who might remember a game of footy here and there, but that round 13 game of 83 when you kicked 34-something, 220 against North, and you were given the 10 votes, you know, the perfect game in one of the newspapers, and you kicked the 8. Do you remember, how vividly do you remember that day at the Junction Oval?
Oh, very well, actually, to tell the truth. We just lost the week before to Hawthorn to lose top spot. And so we dropped to second or third. And North might have gone back to top. In fact, we did drop to second. They went to top. So, look, it was pretty tight.
So North was on top of the ladder?
Yeah, they were top. We dropped to second from losing the previous week to Hawthorn, I reckon. So... they were on top anyway, so she was a pretty tight game. It was only 11 goals to 8 at half time. So, but we had a plan. So obviously, Bernie Quinlan was a superstar forward, and Dempsey used to love dropping back as he took 8 million marks over his career playing loose man defence. But particularly drop back onto Bernie. He had a pretty handy player in David Deutz playing on him. So the That's plan good... was for me to drop into the hole and everyone to piss off. And if Dempsey didn't come up to me, it left Bernie one out. And if he stayed where he was, I was to get used. I thought, that's a great plan for a ruckman. I like that.
Yeah, right.
So I think I kicked three of the first five goals. I just dropped it in the hole. In fact, one of them he punched straight to me, and I spoiled Bernie and hit it straight to me and kicked the goal back over his head. So I thought, this is a good plan. Anyway, but we were 11 to 8 it, so it was still pretty tight. Then we exploded in the second half. So I'd kicked five to half time. Exploded in the second half, and Mickey Conlon was playing on Keith Gregg, another superstar player. Never got a touch in the first half, kicked seven in the second half.
Unbelievable, unbelievable.
And Bernie kicked seven as well, I think.
Yeah, Gary Wilson seven. Kicked four, yeah.
So we kicked 11 and 12 in the last two quarters. So, yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing game. I think we beat them both times that year by 10 goals or more, so... Mm.
Phenomenal performance. It's at times like this, Matty, that you know you reflect on all the good and the bad, and you're back in the game, and of course you should be. You should never have been in a position that you found yourself in a couple of years ago. But when you went through what you went through at the Adelaide Crows, how much did that... Because you sound like a guy who loves footy, and you've always given everybody that impression. How much did that attack your love for the game? Did it almost force you to kind of walk away and never want to come back to it?
No, not really. No, I was always keen to go. Look, I've tried to walk away a couple of times and it sucked me back in.
Right.
But people ask me, so who do you barrack for? I said, I don't barrack for a team. I said, don't you hate Collingwood? Don't you hate Port Adelaide? Because that's where I've been grown up and that's who you hated. I said, no. I said, I barrack for the game. So that's who I support. So I love the game. I love watching it. I learn something every game I watch, and every kids' game I watch, I learn something every time. I'm a great observer of games and dissector of games and try and work out how we can make footy better. I went through, I reckon, three or four days, and look, I'm not saying I know much about depression or anything like that, but during those three or four days, I thought, righto, I got an idea of when people are depressed, this is what it feels like, because I could not sleep one wink.
Mm.
But I was talking to a lot of people, because a lot of people were ringing up and offering their, you know, best wishes and all that sort of stuff. So I took about 3 days, and then I was just lying on the couch there one day, dog tired, and I said, geez, what am I worrying about? He said, I'm doing the right thing. I've done the right thing, and I'm trying to help people. And... forget about all the outside noise from people who had no idea what actually happened in the conversation anyway, to tell the truth.
Mm,
so
I
just turned my mind into, I was trying to fix stuff. And somehow it's turned bad. But I can live with what happened. So as soon as I changed my mindset around that, Andrew, I completely changed.
Good.
I thought, oh... that's okay. Yep. Let's get back into it.
Yeah,
let's get back to work. So I was able to do that, which was good. So and thankfully, I ended up back in the business through Collingwood and had a couple of offers as well at the time. But I was very happy to take the Collingwood one and get back to Melbourne, which I love. And also love Adelaide, but I really love Melbourne and the culture of Melbourne. So it was good to get back in it the following year.
The game's better for having you in it, despite the fact that you've tried to get out of it from time to time, big fella. Look, I'm glad that you're able to get through that. For what it's worth, nobody in footy and people you speak to who know you, well, nobody ever believed that the way that story was represented was a true reflection of what you would have been saying. Nobody believed it. So you've obviously got a lot of credits in the bank and for the time spent and the contribution made. It was recognised on Saturday night at the Brisbane Lions Hall of Fame, as it rightly should have been. You've made a gigantic contribution everywhere you've gone, and we appreciate you spending some time with us today. I really appreciate it, Matty. Thanks for coming on, and congratulations.
Thanks, Andrew. Much appreciated. Okay, bye.
Matt Rendall, one of the good men of footy, inducted into the Brisbane Lions Hall of Fame on Saturday night.